there a doctor in the house?
Doctor, doctor, give me the news. I got a bad case of loving you.
Doctor.
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 And doctor.
It's time for Advanced Medicine Monday with Dr. Rashid Batar.
I'm a doctor, not a bricklayer.
I'm a doctor, not a mechanic.
I'm a doctor, not a coal miner.
The doctor is in.
Yes, the doctor is in. It's Dr. Rashid Batar. He's back. Advanced Medicine Monday really kicks into gear now. Hey, Dr. Batar, hey, last week I was on the third largest show, syndicated show in America, and you know what they were concerned about, why they wanted me to talk about? Was the, and we've talked about it here on Advanced Medicine Monday, but it was the whole non-steroidal anti-inflammatory drug relationship to all kinds of adverse events, particularly one young child who had been on the Motrin. Mm-hmm. And they won $63 million awarded to her and her family for an adverse event from ibuprofen. That she lost 70% of her skin. She was brain damaged. She lost 80% of her lung capacity. You know, you've been talking about the dangers of NSAIDs for years. And I said, if you're on them, invest in hemodialysis.
Yeah, no, I totally agree, Robert. You know, now let me just preface that, too, by saying, you know, is there a rationale to reduce the inflammatory cascade? Absolutely, there is. And I would be a hypocrite if I said that I haven't used a non-steroidal myself, but certainly never more than 48 hours, and that's in a real, really acute situation. I've had situations where I've had injuries, and I will deal with the inflammatory cascade, but the problem is that it can cause a scarring if you don't watch that. And there are so many natural things that are out there that are COX-2 inhibitors that will achieve the same result, but in a much safer manner, will not inhibit the prostaglandins, will not cause problems downstream with ulcers, etc., because of the entire effect on the prostaglandins and the acid in the stomach, etc., etc., cause the nephropathies that can occur. And a lot of these problems with the non-steroidals are actually chronic usage, for literally year upon year upon year. And so like any other tool, it's not the problem with the tool, it's the user. If a user is using it indiscriminately or the doctor is saying just continue using this non-steroidal, it's going to be a problem. Have I used it for 2 or 3 days? Yes. Do I think it's okay to use a non-steroidal for a week? Absolutely, it's okay. But if you're using it for more than a week, there's a problem.
There's a huge risk associated. And I don't think the American public, perhaps not even the medical community, is really invested in understanding how dangerous it can be long term. And as you said, and as we cover all the time, especially when there are so many options before we would have to resort to something like that, the thing is, they said in this case that, well, this girl had been using it for some time with no problem. Why did that last one create the problem, right?
Yeah. That's like the asking why the straw broke the camel's back.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
The whole issue is not
the
what
first dose necessarily.
Exactly. It's the accumulation and the chronic assault, the chronic burden on the renal system, the chronic burden on the entire system, and all the cascades that are elicited from that initial inhibition of the prostaglandins. And then you talk about, you know, there's a whole cascade that goes through, that this entire process goes through. And so on a repetitive basis, on a chronic basis, inhibiting the body's mechanisms that are naturally in place for balance and for optimum physiological processing, these checks and balances, if you will, that were created by the ultimate engineer in order to safeguard our systems, they are being violated when you take a substance that is designed by definition to inhibit a process.
Mm-hmm.
Most drugs, the vast majority of pharmaceuticals, act by inhibiting processes. They are not enhancing pathways. They are not enhancing processes such as nutritional supplements would, because they are actually allowing a process to work better. If you want to look at the difference between a pharmaceutical, this is not a 100% rule. This is more like a 95% generality type statement I'm making. The vast majority of pharmaceuticals will inhibit the physiological processes,
right,
whereas the vast majority of supplementation with an herb, a vitamin, a homeopathic, whatever, is going to enhance a process. So when you look at, for example, the the calcium channel blockers, the ACE inhibitors, the, you know, beta blockers. These, I mean, I just gave you just three different classes of cardiovascular drugs, and notice how even in the names they talk about their blocking systems. So when you talk about a non-steroidal, for example, the natural mechanisms of the body are being inhibited because the body's natural response is an inflammation response to protect itself. And we're going in there and we're blocking that inflammatory cascade, which is in one way violating the natural process, but there's an understanding why, because we don't want that chronic scarring to take place. And so for that reason, we may want to temporarily reduce that inflammatory cascade. There's rationale for it. That, you know, there's arguments you can make for both pros and cons to that. But the point is, we're just talking about the actual inhibitory component of the inflammation cascade. There are other ways to do it on a long-term basis in a natural way, yes, that are not going to cause the side effects. And that's what we're talking about. The collateral damage that occurs from a lot of these drugs, and in this particular case, we're happening to talk about non-steroidal anti-inflammatory drugs, but it's applicable to the general conversation, can be extended, sure, to all pharmaceuticals.
Yeah, and we've talked about that extensively, that the use in let's say, an even allopathic pharmaceutical history was short-term use of drugs, get you out of crisis. And somewhere along the way, the culture transitioned into one of, our job is to find what we can prescribe and what we can keep you prescribed on, and that became the profitable center of the new medicine, so to speak, which is really an abandonment of a Hippocratic Oath type concept.
Absolutely, Robert. It is not only, well, it's interesting, the Hippocratic Oath, you know, and the word hypocrisy, I mean, does that come from Hippocrates? I don't know, but it's
certainly
truly
close.
When doctors take the Hippocratic Oath, they
become hypocrites, not Hippocrats.
Exactly. Exactly.
Very funny. Yeah, actually. And I think we have an obligation and responsibility to find out, hey, if there is a viable option, we would want to use that first, right? Like, if you go to a holistically inclined dentist that understands mercury toxicity and they work very diligently to safely remove something, these guys and gals typically will say, listen, I know I can prescribe an antibiotic, but if I can find any way that I don't have to, I'm going to go that way first. And that's where you hear these people have changed the way they view the body, the way they view pharmacology as well.
Absolutely. And I think that, you know, when you start, that's a great example, by the way, when you start looking at those people that are naturally inclined, it's not that they want to be outcasts and want to be ridiculed by the peers and all this other stuff. I mean, why are they going out on a limb and start talking about doing things in a more natural way? The reason is because they know that it supersedes the current way. It is a step above. It is the first course of action. I've had so many people tell me over the years how proud they are or whatever. You know, Robert, I'm sure you had the same thing, you know, of doing the right thing and standing up against the odds and this and that.
Yes.
You know, to me, it's like I would be violating my own intellect, mm-hmm, were I to do something different. As we evolve as humans and we see a better way, it is our obligation to ourselves, to our own bodies, and then to our own charge, the people that we are responsible for, to do what's better. And then if you are a healthcare provider, you have an ethical and a fiduciary responsibility to do what's best for the patient, to do what's best for the person that's coming to you asking for help, not to the medical board or to the FDA or some governmental regulatory body, because that's what I told the medical board in 2007 when we had this big battle for 3 years. I told them that I never took an oath to you. I took an oath to my patients.
Oh,
and
boy.
So if you're going to hold me to a certain substandard, because that's one of the things that they accused me of, that I wasn't practicing medicine to the standard and I was in breach of ethical violations, I said, I've never done anything standard in my life and I'm not about to start now. So you want standard, fine, then I'm guilty of it, but I will continue to practice medicine above the standard until I can draw my last breath. This is the obligation that every doctor, healthcare provider has. And if we see that, if a doctor sees that, if a dentist sees that, if a provider sees that, then by all means they're going to do what's right. It's the doctors that aren't doing that, that see that there's a better way and will secretly send their, and I've had this, secretly, yes, send their parents or patients to me, but they don't want to even be known that they sent the patients to me. They don't even want the person to tell me that they were referred by them because they are more worried about their name in the community, and they don't want to be associated with the quacks and this and that. You know, when people have asked me that, in fact, Fox News, when they were interviewing me, Dr. Bitar, how do you respond to being called a quack? And I said, as long as you distinguish me from the mainstream doctors, I'm happy with that. I don't care what it is.
they never know what's coming when they interview you. That's probably why they avoid you now.
That's probably true.
And in fact, we have an email we'll get to in a moment from a listener that may want to come see you, and we'll talk about some of the things he's assessing in his own life about maybe how it's appropriate or not. But I do remember many years ago now that when I first read the data that came from Dr. Joseph Maroon up there, he was the neurosurgeon for the Pittsburgh Steelers professional football team. And he had done the study coming back to the NSAIDs and the COX-2 inhibiting drugs and said, hey, let me try some fish oil. And he did a comparable head-to-head type study, and he found that the athletes on the fish oil did as well or better than the NSAIDs and COX-2 inhibiting drugs, but of course had none of the collateral damage or side effects associated.
Absolutely. And then, of course, all the other concomitant benefits that you get with the fish oils. There's other components that you're getting in there that you would never get a side effect benefit from the non-steroidals. And of course, yes, you may say that, okay, you're going to have to take a lot more fish oils. And then what about the mercury in the fish oil if it's not, you know, distilled properly? Or what about the burping? And I get that fishy taste. Okay. Yeah. There's other issues that you may have to deal with. But the point is, if you compare side by side the anti-inflammatory effects and the consequential damages of the renal parenchyma and the long-term implications on the renal system compared to the fish oils, there's no comparison. I mean, one's like trying to drink battery acid every day, and the other one is like drinking a smoothie that you've just juiced yourself.
Battery acid versus a smoothie. I wonder which one I'll choose.
Yeah.
You just put it in very clear terms. Now, and that's also sometimes, you know, when we've done the advanced medicine seminars, I love to talk about the silver, of course, one area I've gotten to study so much on, and found these properties and began to apply them, let's say, gastrointestinally for healing with aloe. And I said, all right, weigh it out here. Here's your gastroenterologist that wants to drug you until they can't drug you anymore, then send you to the colorectal surgeon for removal of body parts when the drugs no longer work. Or, hey, here's a little silver, here's a little aloe, drink it down for a few weeks. You weigh out the two. Which one do you want to do? And then I scratch your head and go, oh, okay.
And it's, you know, so much impact that you're going to have on the body with that silver and the aloe. And then, of course, there's a couple other things that you can do to reduce that inflammatory cascade in the gut with high glutamine and some of these other components that you can do to help reduce that cascade, because it's like a domino effect. It's like a downhill spiral. If you can reverse that spiral and start going in the right way, you start dealing with the other components that are usually associated with that by getting the dysbiotic flora rebalanced and get the proper probiotic balance in the system and to resolve the leaky gut aspect. And there's all these other cascades we're talking about. I mean, it's a difference between night and day. One of my first patients that I dealt with, juvenile rheumatoid arthritis, with on methotrexate, on Plaquenil, on gold shots, on double the dose of Naprosyn, on Tylenol number 3 at the age of 5. Parents are coming to me. In fact, I write about that in the book, Robert. You probably remember the story of Morgan. And she's now 22-year-old in college and, you know, doing fantastically well. She ended up going through junior high and high school and playing sports. But this was a girl that had such severe juvenile rheumatoid arthritis to the point that she'd had 3 different operations. She was on these different medications, and they were now contemplating adding more. And the reason I didn't want to touch her with a 10-foot pole was because I knew that she was going to be in renal dialysis by the time she was 10 years old.
Right.
And this is a normal situation. You're dealing with a child that you're putting in so much non-steroidals, you're putting in so many of these drugs. In fact, methotrexate, I mean, that's a chemotherapeutic drug. You're suppressing the immune system on top of that.
Severely,
and
yes. Then,
and you're doing that in a system that isn't even fully developed yet.
It really is incredible. And that's why I say, you know, a responsible doctor wouldn't just do that, but so many of them have turned off their higher function of cognition and the ability to think, their intellect, as you said, that they're doing things very unconsciously and not a positive unconsciousness, if there is one, but a very dangerous unconsciousness. Listen, we got to take a break here. You're listening to Advanced Medicine Monday with Dr. Rasha Bitar, the 9 steps to keep the doctor away, international bestseller, available, and the links are up at robertscottbell.com. We're going to talk about an Advanced Medicine Monday that everybody's going to want to go to. I know everybody wants to go to them already, but this one, could it get sweeter? We're going to tell you about that as well. Also, Dr. Bitar tells me there's a child cancer case he wants to discuss, and we do have an email from a listener. I covered a little bit last week. I want to talk about it with Dr. Bitar. So we got a lot of healing to go. Check it all out. Medical Rewind. If you ever miss a show, the archives are there. And the links, of course, in the show notes today at robertscottbell.com. We'll be right back with Dr. Bitar after this.
Who'd you say that masked man was?
It's a bird.
It's a plane.
It's Robert Scott Bell.
Here I come to save the day.
Taking on bureaucrats and corporations that would stand in the way of health freedom. Here's Robert.
You can always call us at 866-939-BELL, 866-939-2355. And in the show notes every week, we also list the direct contact into Dr. Bitar's clinic. And, of course, there's a long list of people that would like to see him. It's very busy. But we know some of you get that signal, that internal something that says, I've got to do it. And I've got a letter right now that may correspond to that from Michael Diesel. We talked about it last week. I didn't have it on with Dr. Bitar, but he says, hi, Robert. My wife listens to you every day, and we've done many things that you have said. He has, however, Dr. Bitar, he says he has Crohn's disease, but he hasn't been taking meds in 7 years, which is cool. But he has secondary hypertension since he was 25, and now he's developed Raynaud's and unfortunately had his gallbladder removed about 3 years ago. And since that time, he has had chronic diarrhea, which is sometimes caused or accompanied by severe cramping. Now, he's done some things we've talked about to help him, but he's also working on getting his mercury removed. And his wife and he would both thinking that they would like to come see you because they know, you know, the things we talk about could help them. But what is your perspective when you hear a setup like this?
There were a couple of things that you said that just kind of hit you right out of the, you know, gate. Mm-hmm. And, of course, the history of Crohn's disease, gallbladder taken out, chronic diarrhea, secondary hypertension. I mean, there's an underlying etiological component that obviously hasn't been addressed, and it is common among all those things. And that is the first three of those toxicities that we talk about, the seven toxicities, definitely the first two, and most likely the third one now because of the first two being in existence, the heavy metals, the persistent organic pollutants, and then he probably has a gut imbalance due to all these other things that he's got, the Crohn's disease, and he's probably got no flora, or if he does, it's really out of whack.
Yeah.
But the issues are very clear in that this is a toxicity issue. It always is a toxicity issue. There may be other components that are contributing, but it is always the starting point, the toxicity aspect. And, you know, Robert, this is a very complicated case. Obviously, it sounds like that, and yet it's very simple.
Mm-hmm.
It's simple in the fact that it's a clear path to get to the result that we want. It is not a complicated path. What becomes complicated is making sure that the right things are used at the right time in the right order to make sure we get the result we want. But the path is very clear. So let me give you an example of what I mean by that.
Sure.
There are a lot of doctors that will say, well, let's get the pathways opened up and enhanced before we start doing the heavy metals and blah, 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 blah. The problem is that that will never happen because the heavy metals are blocking those pathways themselves. Not only is there maybe a genetic predisposition for the inability to excrete, but the metals themselves being inside the system, and I think we've talked about this before.
Yes.
Inside the system, there's a toxic effect that's going to be universal for any biological entity. They're going to have that toxicity secondary to the oxidative stress that the metals are causing. That's everybody's going to have that.
Mm-hmm.
But then certain people have a genetic predisposition for the inability to excrete. So those people, their pathways are compromised to get rid of this stuff, and the metals are contributing to that pathway that's already disrupted. Okay, so that's a second component. So we know that the oxidative stress component, it's going to be universal. But that second one, only certain people are going to have a worsening effect because their entire pathways designed to get rid of the metals are being compromised by the metals being like the wrenches in the engine preventing the engine from working. And then as if that's not enough, then there's going to be a third group subpopulation that is going to have the allergenicity component to this. And so then it's even worse for them. Now, why would you think that the order of how you do some of these things would be so crucial? Because if you try to deal with the gut issue first and then start dealing with the metal issue, it is like trying to get traction up a mud hill in the middle of a rainstorm. You're just going to keep on sliding further and further and further back. So the order of which we approach this is very crucial. And, you know, there are certain components that will tell us which order that a person's going to need. And that gets a little bit beyond talking here on the radio, because there's certain tests that we have to see and see which issues may be compromising more so than others. For example, if the SIGA, the secretory immunoglobulin A levels, are extremely high, well, that's a really bad problem. It means that the person has a delayed IgG-mediated food allergy component, which is probably exacerbating the whole thing. But then if the levels are really, really low, opposite extreme, that means that their systems have gone higher, 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 mounted, and the body cannot handle it anymore, and it comes crashing down, which now indicates that the person is in adrenal exhaustion. Their bodies don't even have the compensation ability anymore for the flight-fight response. They are absolutely exhausted. And so for that individual, rather than dealing with that SIGA that has already gone high, 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 and then gotten to the point that just can't handle it, and it comes crashing down through the normal level, down to like a 1 or a 2, that person needs a different approach, because we need to now help that person's hypothalamic pituitary adrenal axis, support it, almost like a person that can't walk, supporting them with a crutch, and get them up to the point that they can at least ambulate, and then we rebuild the whole system. So I know that may have...
It's complex, yet it doesn't, let's say, abandon the basic principles which we are all, on which we are aligned, and that is we know we've got to get certain things done. But each individual might require a tweaking or a modification of the method or the way we're going to do it, or even, as you said, sometimes the order in which we're going to do it. That's the whole point of individualization of treatment. And that's also the concern you have when somebody overly generalizes and say, this is the way to do it for everybody. When somebody says that, you go, back off. Wait a second. I'm not everybody. I got to find out what's right for me. And that's where this guy is asking that question. It might be appropriate to say, I need to see Dr. Bitar.
Well, you nailed the nail right on the head. You nailed the nail right on the head.
Are you calling me a hammer?
I'm calling you a hammer. you did. I mean, that's exactly the point. Is that it's that crucial order, and it's not difficult. And I know that when I say that, I've had doctors in the audience, and I've told them that, and then they look at me like, "Are you crazy? You know, you just went through all this stuff." And it's not really that difficult. It's just making sure once you've seen it so many times and you understand how the body works, it's not that hard. But right. To help other doctors to understand it. In fact, Robert, this is the reason we put the AHEAD map together. Mm-hmm. The purpose of the AHEAD map is so that people don't even need a doctor. By getting that hierarchy, that priority, if you will. Basing it all on numerical values, and then basing the therapeutic modalities, the interventions, and having weights on those things. And then each one of these questions that the person is being asked helps us to determine the prioritization, the hierarchy of which way you're going to approach it, and then also the therapeutic intervention that is best suited for that particular component. And, you know, it's, again, not complicated, but it's complicated in the sense that, you know, if you have a lot of tools and there's a lot of systems that you're dealing with, you got to start looking at a lot of these different things. And so sometimes I have to take – I actually have these like pieces of paper that I'll write. They're actually napkins that I write on the back, and I'll, on certain patients, if it's really a lot of different things going on, I'll actually draw a diagram so that I can look at it. I'm a person that sees figures
visually
better.
That way much better. I understand.
Yeah. And so the head map has actually been designed – for exactly that, but to give that same power not only to other doctors but to anybody. In fact, the goal is that a person doesn't even have to see a doctor to get it. Now, of course, you know, when we launch this thing, it's only going to be through healthcare providers, but everybody is going to have access to it. In fact, as you and I were talking off the air, the AHEAD map is so perfectly suited to the entire message of our program, mm-hmm. and of what you do every week, which is, or every day, I should say, 6 days a week, which is a power to heal is yours. And that's exactly what this is, because yes. We want to give the people the tools. Your body is the master healer itself. Now we just have to give it certain tools in the right order, make sure that we do it in the prioritization that's going to be best suited. It's not like it's necessarily not going to work if you do it in the wrong order, but it's certainly going to work a lot better and a lot faster, and you may not go through as much of a Herxheimer's response
right. If
you do it in the right order. And that's what the whole purpose of the AHEAD map is.
Well, and that's exactly right. But accessing it, not a lot of docs are fully plugged into this, as we know. And, of course, we want to make this information available to anyone and everyone, especially if they're invested in listening to us each week and the show all the time. They're already kind of – their mindset is there. It's not like it's a struggle. You don't have to fight to get there. Like, well, I'm here. Just show me what to do. I get it. Now I need the details.
Well, the head map is that actually brings up that time schedule for the next advanced medicine seminar that I think you wanted to talk about on the air too. But we're getting closer and closer. It's just a lot of programming, a lot of information that has to be you know, processed. And the way I look at it, Robert, I've been working on this thing for 12 years, so another month isn't going to hurt, right?
Right, I know. It's like, but people sitting on the other side of the fence are going, Dr. Bitar, man, what's wrong with you? You keep saying it, and it's not here. They're all so anxious and impatient, not seeing the 12 years of background that has led to this point. And so a month more, hey, it'll be okay.
Well, I want to make sure that it's working. And here's the thing. You know, there's so many things that have happened and that things have changed, protocols that are better now. Some of the things that I'd originally set up, I don't even use those things anymore because I find better things. So now we have to go back and put those new components. You know, the practice of clinical medicine has continuously evolved in my practice for the last 16 years. In fact, my staff hates it when I go to a conference or when I've had more than like 2 or 3 days off, because when I come back, I've got all these new ideas and I start implementing them.
Oh, no.
Like, oh, God, we just got this last protocol set up and now you want to change it, or, you know.
But isn't that the nature of a real healer, a healing, that, you know, you're always open to new information and integrating into that which you already know to be principled and factual and true? It isn't that, you know, you're abandoning principles. The principles stay and remain.
Oh, the principles. Yeah, the principles are universal and they've never changed. But, of course, my staff would say this more like I've got attention deficits or something like that. But, you know, to be in all seriousness, the goal is a constantly moving goal. The principles are universal and they're always going to be the same, but they are things that are getting better. And I have a hard time staying with something when I know there's something better out there.
Mm-hmm.
And we are so close, but yet we don't want to quite release this till we've got all the bugs worked out. Now, the association aspect where the head map is going to be through, remember, there's three components to this. There's the cancer, the autism, and then the overall health.
Right.
And our focus really has been, 99% of it has been on the autism aspect, which, by the way, from the autism aspect, we should be launching as of Monday, no later than Wednesday. Just some last minute glitches we're going through. We're just seeing some certain things, like for the doctor to be able to click on a certain part of the website to be able to expand the whole patient's response rate to the RAPTD, which is RAPTD is response to autism treatment documentation form. RAPTD is our method of evaluating and recording the improvement in a child. And the lower the score, the better. Same thing with the head map, the lower the score, the better. So it's the RAPTD is exclusively for autism. Then we're going to have one for cancer. And then, of course, the overall health, which is going to affect everybody, which is a head map. But the RAPTD has really been where our focus is. And it's going to be released either Monday or Wednesday. Mm-hmm. And again, the only way to access that is through certain doctors, and any doctor can participate, but the patient has to go through a doctor because of the nature of what we're doing on the back end. And then, of course, the head map, the goal is that mid-March, we'll roll it out in a beta platform. In April and May, we'll be testing the beta, and then hopefully by no later than June, we'll be able to really, really launch this thing big.
But it's important to remind everybody that Advanced Medicine Monday listeners of the Robert Scott Bell Show, you have access by signing up for the email alerts. Some of you have already taken advantage and plugged in. It would normally cost $99. You're going to get in for free because you listen. And we'll talk about that again if you haven't signed up for alerts. We got to take a break here. We've gone long, but so much good information coming out. I do want to talk about that young cancer patient of yours as well. And also the Advanced Medicine Advanced Medicine Seminar coming up that is so sensational. You're going to want to find a way to get to it. So stand by for that and a whole lot more with Dr. Bitar right here on the Robert Scott Bell Show.
The Robert Scott Bell Show. The information is so good, it requires no expiration date. The Robert Scott Bell Show.
Dr. Bitar, I feel like we might have just a little bit more to wrap up on that last segment, you know, about the AHEAD map, accessing it through the private club or association. We definitely need to plug in all healthcare providers.
Right, right. Actually, Robert, that's a good point, because for everybody that wants to partake in that, that is right now, unfortunately, you just need to maintain a flight pattern. And hopefully that will happen very shortly in the next, like I said, 30, 45 days. We may even have a version that you can go on there and do the questionnaire yourself. It won't be necessarily tied in with the entire neural network, but at least you can see the questions that you're going to be taking. And, mm-hmm. and everybody that is a healthcare provider, there are certain steps that you can do right now. And that, when I say healthcare providers, that means anybody that's in the laying off hands on a person, meaning massage therapists, electrodermal, nurse practitioners, PAs, you know, MDDOs, chiropractors, dentists, anything, anybody who's doing any kind of a healing work, any type of health modality, anything that's to do with improving one's state of well-being, you are considered a provider. And for you, there is something that you can do right now, because that's the association aspect that we talked about. If you're an individual person and you're concerned about your own health care, you don't need to worry about the association aspect. That's more for the people that are in the professional realm of taking care of people. And so for them to set up their own associations, that is something you can start working on right now. And Robert, the best way to do it is just have them go to associationforadvancedmedicine.com and read through that information. And at the bottom, there is a place that says register or physician login. I think it may say provider login, actually. So I was very sensitive to that, that I didn't want to have physician or provider. I wanted to have provider so that nobody would feel outcasted.
Right.
So provider login, you obviously will not be able to do anything by clicking on the provider login since you don't have a login, but most of the doctors that are already involved have their login information. You, as a new provider that's coming on, they will not have your information, so you need to click on the register tab. Go ahead and get registered. If there's any questions, you can send us an email at the clinic, which is info@drbitar.com, if there's some confusion. But just go ahead and go through the registration process, and that's basically it.
Very good. And of course, that's all of these things are in process of coming up and running, a long time coming, if you will, but getting so very close. So get prepared, because it will transform your ability to help others. Already the good works you may be doing out there can be enhanced and simplified and directed more efficiently. And we want to plug you into all of that. So,
Robert, I just went to that site. Actually, I just realized something.
Yes.
For that particular site, when you go there, to create your own association, it's quite a bit of money. For people that are listening to the show, that are our listeners, and I want to always do stuff special for the people that are listeners. If you're a provider and you're listening to the Robert Scott Bell Show, to the Advanced Medicine Mondays, unless, of course, you listen to Ty Bollinger's show. Listen to Ty Bollinger's show, you're screwed. It's going to cost you twice.
The Ty Bollinger exception, we'll call that.
Yeah, exactly, Ty Bollinger exception rule. But for everybody else, when you go there, you're going to see the cost of setting up an association if you're a provider. But we have a special rate for the people that are our listeners. And so that is obviously not going to be there when you get there. When you look through it, at least you'll understand it. Then send us an email at info@drbitar.com. And in that email, say that you want to create your own association. Let us know what your profession is, like what type of healthcare provider you are. And then give us an email and a phone number that somebody can contact you back and say that you want to start your own association. Once that comes into our system, somebody will get back with you within 48 hours and walk you through with it and explain to you, you know, what type of a special deal you're going to get, which, because it'll be a lot lower than what's on the website, because that we don't know who the people are. For anybody that I don't know who the doctor is, I don't know what kind of provider they are, that's what they're going to have to do to become a part of this, because I don't know if it's an undercover FDA agent or some medical board.
Sure.
Dirt bag that's trying to
yeah, we don't want dirt bags if we can avoid it. But right. All right, so reiterate that. You go to the Association for Advanced Medicine. The link's up there in the show notes today. Now, you listen to the Robert Scott Bell Show. That's how you found it. You're going to see it. It's a very big price tag to participate. But if you listen, you will now send an email once you've reviewed it and say, yes, I'm interested as a healthcare provider of any kind, and send it to info@drbitar.com. Let them know you're a listener of the show. You want to plug in more, and there's a special. You will be getting information directly to you about
right.
that association.
And Robert, I just want to mention, everything you said was perfect, but remember, this is for the providers. If you're a listener and you want to partake in it, you don't have to worry about any of that stuff.
We already got you covered directly in via the email alert that I send out. So
this is for the people that are going to set up their associations as providers. So please make sure that you fall into that category before doing so. And when you do send that information in, make sure you also include a phone number and your profession, meaning what type of healthcare provider you are, so that the person, the staff member who calls you back, at least is prepared and has the right information when they call you back.
Correct. Beautiful. Well done. Now, let's go to you said it was a 9-year-old with cancer you're dealing with?
Yeah. I'm not sure how you want to describe it, but I've had the... You don't want to say curse, and you don't want to say the pleasure, because neither one of them is true. But we've been put into that situation where a young child will have cancer and the parents will call. And my staff always, it's always my office manager and my nursing staff the head of my nursing staff, the supervisor for the nursing staff, and one or two other staff members will always come in, and it's almost like they're trying to talk me out of it. And I don't want to take that type of responsibility because, you know, these are children that have gone through chemo, gone through radiation. They've been referred to hospice. They've got all this collateral damage that's been done. The child, you know, everybody's given up on them. And they're financially exhausted. They're emotionally exhausted. They're spiritually exhausted. They're not questioning the existence of the Creator. And it's just a very, very difficult thing to do. But when my staff comes in there and they're trying to talk me out of it, I know what they're feeling. And my question always is, guys, I feel the same way as you do. But the question is, if we turn them away, where are they going to go? What other course of action do they have? And remember that if, God forbid, you were in that same situation and you were desperate and every place you turned, they slammed the door in your face and told you, go to hospice and slowly die, how would you feel? What would you be thinking? What if it was your child? So we don't have the luxury of deciding, do we or do we not take care of this child? And it doesn't matter what could possibly happen to us if we were to step into that role, because that's our role. If a truck's going to hit us, the truck's going to hit us. Mm. Worrying about it's not going to make a difference. Yeah. We do what we need to do. We do what we were supposed to do. We do what we're put on this planet to do, and we do it to our best of our ability.
Your mission, should you choose to accept it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And they actually know by the fact that they work here, they've already accepted that mission.
Yes.
So, and they know in themselves, innately they know, because right. once we move forward, they're all on board. I've seen my staff taking up a collection for patients, and I've said when the staff does that, step aside, the clinic will take care of it. But the point is, these situations happen. Every couple of years, we'll have a child that comes in. And Robert, I think I've talked to you about the air about this, but
yes,
it's I've learned a lot from taking care of children that have terminal disease. And the first thing I've learned is there's no such thing as terminal disease, but it's usually, not usually, it's almost always the iatrogenic causation that makes them transition to the next realm. It is not the cancer.
Yes.
In fact,
I would say that some of the reason for the cancer itself may be iatrogenic.
Well, vaccine related, absolutely, yeah. Without a doubt. There's a reason why we see so much more cancer in children today than we did 20 years ago. And of course, the BS reason is given, oh, well, we have better modalities of screening and picking up the cancer. You know, BS. That's I see I'm learning. I didn't say.
Yes. We didn't have to censor you today.
I mean, it has nothing to do with that. It's because we're giving more vaccines and there's more mm-hmm. DNA addicts that are being introduced into the child at an earlier age and causing those mutations to occur at an earlier age, and that transforms into these different types of cancers. But this child, it was a unique situation because this child, the parents, has adamantly refused radiation. Adamantly. They've had four surgeries. A fourth surgery, the first three surgeries, they said that it was a total resection. They got everything. Well, if they got everything, why did it come back? Well, we know that it doesn't matter whether, you know, that's like saying, I got the full weed. I got everything, roots and all. Well, guess what? It's the terrain. And mm-hmm. if the terrain was okay for one weed to sprout, it's going to be sprouting everywhere. And that's why it keeps on coming back. This fourth surgery was the first time they said they only got 80 to 85%. And the surgeon, the mom told me, the surgeon is a really good guy. He really cares about the child. But he's always talking about giving child 6 more months, 9 more months. There's never a solution. It's never a cure. It's always, you know,
we're basically buying time.
Right. And so to me, in my, you know, we talked about this, the mom and I talked about this, that look, I made the comment about turning it off. And so she said, so when you're talking about that, what do you mean? I mean, how much longer are you talking about? I said, listen, if I'm talking about extending time here, I'm not going to waste your time or my time or effort in doing something that these people said they can do with radiation to extend them, give them 6 months. To me, when I'm talking about turning it off, I mean it's gone.
It's gone. Listen, we got to buy some more time here. We got to take a break. We're going to come back and wrap up the Advanced Medicine Monday here and find out what is transpiring with this 9-year-old with cancer, having set the stage with Dr. Bitar here on this Advanced Medicine Monday. So stand by. We'll be right back.
Robert Scott Bell.
Take
taking on bureaucrats and corporations that would stand in the way of health freedom. Here's Robert.
All right, we're in the midst of a story about a child with cancer, a brutal anytime this happens to anybody, but Dr. Bitar is now handling it, dealing with this, and getting beyond the limiting paradigms of, hey, let's give 6 months, 9 months. And the parents are already programmed this way, as you said, and they're like, what do you mean turn it off, Dr. Bitar?
Well, the thing is that there's a higher reason for me to bring this conversation up, Robert, but I know that we're limited on time, so I'm just going to say that the parent, this particular parent, I had three patients that this happened with all in 1 week, and I believe that for me, when the Creator's trying to give me a message, it comes in threes.
Yes.
And what was interesting was I have three patients, all with terminal cancer, supposedly. They've all been diagnosed with this end stage, you know, late stage cancer. All three of them absolutely refused the conventional chemo radiation route. They did certain things on their own, and they have outlived what the doctor said they were going to outlive. But then they came to the clinic, our clinic, and for whatever reasons, they couldn't partake in what they really needed to, logistically, financially, whatever the case was. And so I'm sitting here afterwards, and I'm thinking to myself, I'm talking to my office manager, that these are the people, these are the type of people that we're supposed to help. And now they've done everything. They're the ideal person. And this particular child had never had radiation. I've never had a child with glioblastoma or a glioma that has come to me who hasn't had Decadron and radiation and chemo and all this other stuff. This child was the first child that came without having ever had radiation, which means that they're not going to be in this unbelievably distraught place. So long story short, called her back. Mom brings a child in. Today they left after the first 3 days. Yesterday I asked the child during the office visit, so today you had your first set of treatments. Do you have any pain? No. Do you see any do you have any discomfort? No. I went through a couple of questions. Everything was no. So I'm thinking of a typical 9-year-old child saying no, no, no. So I said, well, do you feel anything different? And he looks at his mom and looks at me and smiles and says, yes. And I said, you do feel something different. What? He says, I'm not as tired anymore.
Ah.
That was
the vital force coming back into the body.
Yeah. And so, but he could perceive it already. So, so I'm sitting there. Okay. And he's humming. And mom's got a smile on her face. And I said, does he normally hum? And mom says, no. And the son said, the patient says, yes, I do. Mom says, well, I haven't heard you hum in a couple of years. And he said, well, I still hum though. And so there's an energetic shift that's already taking place. Now, why am I bringing this up on the show? Because I need the listeners to do something for me.
All right, let's call them to action. Go ahead.
I need the power of prayer. I know what we can do physiologically. I know all these things that we can do, and we're going to be doing it. But I have always, every time I've had a child that's come to me, because this kid has been given 6 months. I don't believe it's 6 months. I told the mom that if I believed it was 6 months, I would have never called you back. Here's what I want everybody to do. I want you to have the intent of what's going to happen to this child, and that's not what's going to happen to this child with cancer, that he wants to be a pilot. I asked him, what do you want to be? He said, a pilot. I said, what kind of pilot? You know, a chopper pilot, an airplane pilot? He said, an airplane pilot. I said, a big plane or a little plane? He said, a little plane. I said, passengers or cargo? He says, passengers. I said, human passengers or animal passengers? He said, human passengers. I had him go through all these things, and I don't know if the mom understood what I was doing or not, but I'm giving him a specific goal to latch his brain onto. I want the audience.
A visual, absolutely. Directing that vital force energy to create that future that was taken away from him with this whole concept of 6 to 9 months, 6 to 9 months, 6 to 9 months.
Exactly. I want the audience to pick flying a Learjet as a private pilot at the age of 30 years old. I want people to pray that the best thing happens and to give him, send him whatever energy that they can spare to this little kid, because I want this kid to, just like all the children that have come to us, I want them to be here. If God wants him, I told the mom, if he wasn't supposed to beat this, I don't believe that you would have found us.
Exactly.
God, that please don't send me somebody unless I'm supposed to help them.
If you find this is amazing as I do, and I love getting together each week as we do, but getting together in person is the most astonishing thing. If you think this is cool, what we do with Advanced Medicine once a week, you got to go to Advanced Medicine Seminars. And I know some of you said, we want to go, but we're waiting for a really cool place to go. Well, Dr. Bitar has got you covered there. We're going to be in Cancun, Mexico, and I've got it linked up in the show notes today. You'll see it there, the visual, the banner, everything in there. You can come to a retreat in Cancun, a week-long retreat. Dr. Bitar, real quick, it's for doctors, again, and laypersons. The whole family can come. It's incredible. What do we got going on?
Absolutely, Robert. It's we've been able to negotiate something very, very extraordinary, and only because there's a special relationship that I have with the people that own these resorts, and it goes back a number of years. We actually held our first AMSPA conference there back in 2000, our first AMSPA annual conference there in 2007, and it's fantastic. All I can tell you is go to the website, and really, really will be a great time. 7 days, or actually 8 days.
Yeah, this is a whole week retreat, full 1 week retreat. You can bring your family, all inclusive, Cancun, and it's April 13th through the 20th. Healthcare providers, doctors, of course, of all kinds, as well as laypersons and family. You want to transform your life and have a great time doing it. Heck, just being unplugged like that, you'll find health flowing back into you along with what we're able to present there. So that's where we got to wrap it up today. We'll talk more about it each week as we head that direction. But we look forward to seeing you in Cancun and everywhere else we're going to be here with Advanced Medicine Monday and Dr. Bitar on the Robert Scott Bell Show, where we simply remind you that the power to heal is yours.
The Robert Scott Bell Show.
Robert Scott Bell Show.